worthy to be praised. Praise the Lord. Well, praise God. The title to my sermon today is Clear Vision. Clear Vision. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you all praise and all glory for everything you're going to do here today. I ask you, Father, to give us clear vision that we truly can see the things that you would have us see clearly and understand the things that you would have us understand. And I'd be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I've been trying to print my stuff in bigger printing so I don't have to put my glasses on. Half the time they're dirty anyway. praise the Lord. I'm going to read you this little story thing here. And it says, a young couple moved into a new neighborhood. And the next morning while they were eating breakfast, the young woman sees her neighbor hanging the wash outside. She comments, that laundry's not very clean. She doesn't know how to wash correctly. Every time the neighbor does her wash, the young woman says the same thing. This goes on for many weeks. A month later, the young woman sees the clothes hanging on the clothesline and remarks, how clean they look. She tells her husband, look, the neighbor must have learned how to wash. I wonder who taught her how. The husband replies, I got up early this morning and cleaned our windows. And so it is with life. How we see others depends on our vision. Is it clear or has our windows need cleaning? And you know, that's the truth sometimes. I know sometimes when I'm driving my car, especially at night, you know, I'll think my windows don't look too bad, and I'll be driving at night, and you wonder sometimes how the inside of your windows on your car get so dirty. I mean, you know, because they're not exposed to the outside or anything, because most of the time you got your windows rolled up. But they get that film on them. And those lights, when they shine through the windows at night, it just puts a glare, and you can't even hardly even see the road. And you have to clean those windows from the inside to see outside. And you know, I love that because a lot of times we need to ask God to help us look at things in the right way and give us true, clear vision in situations. And that little story, it's kind of a cute little story. But you know what? It's really a true story, you know? And my first scripture here is Proverbs 29:18, and I love this. And this is out of the Amplified Bible. I really like the Amplified Bible. I've had one for, I guess, 60 years. It's been about 60 years. But, you know, I love the Amplified Bible because certain things, it brings things out really, really good. And this is excellent here in Proverbs 29:18. It says, where there's no vision, and then it's got in parentheses here, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. I like that it says redemptive revelation of God. You know, when God gives you vision in something, it's not so that you can get puffed up or think that you're some big so-and-so or whatever. But he wants you to have a redemptive effect on your life and on the life of those that you look into. And I really like that. And I'm going to read that part to you again, and I'm going to read the rest of it. It said, where there's no vision, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed and happy and fortunate and envied is he. And we know that the perfect law that God gave us, that Jesus gave us, He said, a new commandment I give you is that you love one another. And really, that love trumps everything. If you love somebody, then you're not going to want to mistreat them. You're not going to want to steal from them. You're not going to want to do any of the things that the Ten Commandments say. You know, so it isn't, you know, the Ten Commandments written on a wall somewhere is just the Ten Commandments, you know. And but the real law is the law of love. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. Now, I'm going to read you a definition for the word perish there, because perish sounds really bad, like to be destroyed, to be taken away, or whatever. And this definition I'm going to read you here goes like this. The Hebrew word perish is para. That's the Hebrew word. It means to perish, but the word was used in a biblical proverb where a woman's hair was let to flow out of its covering, her hairband, unconstrained in the wind, and is blown in all directions. Now, you know, a lot of times, Margaret and them used to kid me, you know, about combing my hair. You know, I'm always combing my hair, you know. And it's kind of funny because my oldest grandson, Josh, Jennifer and them asked him what he wanted from Grandpa, you know, if something ever happened to Grandpa. And he said, I want Grandpa's comb. He's 27 years old. He wants my comb. And Margaret kids me about that a lot. And we told her, well, didn't you ever see Fonzie on, that was me, I was always combing my hair. But you know, I'll wash my hair and I go outside and it blows it all over the place, you know. And I can't stand just leaving it like that. I have to comb it before I go inside. I just can't really stand it when my hair gets all disarrayed. I'm starting to lose a lot of my hair, so it ain't got as much to worry about. One of these days I'm going to cut it all off and get a short haircut. But you know, I always kept my hair combed and everything like that, groomed and that kind of stuff. But anyway, I like that it's talking about not necessarily destruction, but it's talking about something being really in disarray, something that's out of control. And you know, I believe that, you know, where there's no vision or redemptive revelation of God, the people are out of control. Instead of perishing, and I'm not going to use the word perish there, but that's what it says in the King James. I mean, in the Amplified there. But I'm going to talk about they're out of control. They're being blown every which way. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what they're doing. You know, in Scripture, a woman's hair is her glory. You know, I mean, you've probably all read that before, and I'll give you a Scripture for it. It's 1 Corinthians 11:15, if you want to look it up. And you know, the woman in Scripture is a type of the church. And, you know, the hair was given for a covering, you know. And you know, there's even Scriptures, which is kind of a doctrinal type thing, but I don't necessarily feel like that has to be, you know, held to or whatever. But they would say that for a woman to cut her hair, you know, is that she'd better be should be shorn, you know, and cut all the way off. But because it was a glory covering is what it was a type of. And in the church, the glory that we're covered with is the Lord, because he said, I'll not give my glory to another, and he is our covering, you know. And anyway, in Proverbs 29:18 again, this is out of the English Standard Version. It says, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. And there you go. There's that blowing in all different directions. But blessed is he that keeps the law. In James 1:25, in that same translation, the English Standard Version translation, it says, "But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing." And you know, we have to realize that what God is trying to do, he's trying to get us to have single vision, to have clear vision. And when we have that clear vision, we'll begin to see things for what they really are. And I'll have to be truthful with you. I feel like a lot of times, a lot of people today don't see very clearly. They think that they're seeing clearly, but they really aren't. And in Luke 11:28, in that same translation, it says, they said to Jesus, "Blessed is the womb that bore you," you know, when he was walking down the road. And he answered and said, "But he said, blessed rather are those that hear the word of God and keep it." Okay. In John 13:17, in that same translation, I like that translation. It's a good translation. It says, "If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And there has to come some doing when God begins to bring revelation to you in something. It's not just a hearing, but it's a doing too. You know, I'm going to give you a definition of Christian vision. Christian vision is the ability to discern reality in all things. Spiritual discernment, the wisdom, the understanding, godly intelligence of the mind, which is nothing less than the mind of Christ. I like that definition. That's a good definition. Christian vision, true vision, clear vision, is the ability to discern the reality in all things, spiritual discernment, the wisdom, the understanding, the godly intelligence of the mind, which is nothing less than the mind of Christ. I like that. You know, this is one of my favorite scriptures. I've quoted this scripture many, many times. You know, it's in the gospel, the epistle of John, first epistle of John, chapter 3, where it's, and here, I'll start reading from verse 2. It says, "O dear children of mine, forgive the affection of an old man. Have you realized it? Here and now we are God's children." And in the King James, it says we're sons of God. It says, "We don't know what we shall become in the future. We only know that if reality were to break through, we should reflect his likeness, for we should see him as he really is." And you know what? We have to get to the place where we ask God on a daily basis, "Lord," you know, we sing that song a lot, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, you know, in that song. And we really need to ask God on a daily basis, "Open my eyes, my spiritual eyes, Lord." Because when my spiritual eyes are open, I won't judge after the traditions of men. I won't judge after the traditions of the elders. I'll judge after what your spirit speaks to my heart about, you know. And, you know, I wrote down here, "Let us ask God for clear vision in all things every day. And not listen to the traditions of men or of the elders, which make the word of God of no effect." You know, so many times, if we're not careful, we find ourselves following whatever the traditions of man is, and not really the traditions of man. And man has a tendency that he adds to it or he takes away from it. And you know, that was one thing I used to like about Carl when he used to speak at church. You know, he'd get up a lot of times and he'd be speaking, and when he was done, he was done. I mean, I liked that, you know. He didn't add a whole bunch to it or take a whole bunch away. And if he didn't have much, he just shared what he shared, and that's the way it is. And you know what? That's the way we all should be. Just whatever God gives you, that's what you should share. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to read you that definition here again of the word parish. and para, and it means to perish. And it was used, and this is telling you how it was used. It was used in the biblical proverb where a woman's hair was let flow out of its covering, the hairband, you know, the covering, unconstrained in the wind, and it blew in every direction. And like I told you, I experience that every time I wash my hair, because I wash my hair and I leave it wet and let it just dry wet, and then I comb it before I go in someplace usually. And boy, if that wind's blowing, it'll be here and there and everywhere. And sometimes you can understand why people get real short haircuts, because you don't have to mess with that, you know. But I haven't got to that point yet, but I'm hoping I'll get there one of these days. But, you know, like I told you, I'm real bad about combing my hair. And I guess in my will, I'm going to have to put in there that Josh gets my comb. He's always worried that he's going to lose his hair. Jennifer tells him, says, "Well, don't worry about that, Josh. Grandpa's 74, and he's still got some hair." I said, "I ain't got a lot, but I still got some, you know." But, you know, kids worry about that stuff. But anyway, well, that's all I really had to share with you today. Now, that was short and sweet, and that's all I had to share. But we need to pray and ask God to give us clear vision. And you know, I'm going to read that one more time out of Proverbs 29:18. Out of the Amplified, where there's no vision, no redemptive revelation of God. I like that, because that's what true vision in God is. It's to redeem. It's to bring redemption to something. It's not to destroy. It's to bring redemption. And it's saying where there's no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed and happy, fortunate to be envied is he. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you today. And I'm gonna take Carl's thing, and I'm not gonna go any farther. If you all stand, we'll close in a word of prayer. And I'll get you out of here early. And if you, yeah, go ahead. Sure. Well, praise the Lord. That's good. Praise God. Thank you. I appreciate you sharing that. You know, the wonderful thing about it is that, you know, God loves everybody, and he wants us to be an expression of that love. We were talking about Melchizedek back, and I'm not going to take off into another sermon, but we were talking about Melchizedek back here in Sunday school for a little bit. You know, we've been called kings and priests unto God, and that was an order of blessing. That's all it says about Melchizedek in the Old Testament, that he met Abraham at the Battle of the Kings. And he blessed Abraham. He brought forth the bread and wine. And we need to bring forth the bread of life, which is Jesus. And we need to bring forth the wine, which is a type of his blood, his redemptive blood. You know, that song we used to, I love that song. We don't sing it too much anymore. The blood of Jesus, you know, that song, it reaches to the highest mountain, to the lowest valley. You know, it gets everywhere. You know, it's not just for the Christians, it's for everybody, for God so loved the world. And we just need to keep that in the forefront of our mind when we deal with other people. Even when you see some ugly, nasty people out there, and there is some like that. But you know what? We need to bless them in the name of the Lord. Lord, we want to bless them with your presence. We want to bless them with your spirit, that you can get a hold of them, that your blood would flow over their life, that they would come to know you. And you know, that's all I really had to say. Anybody else got anything they want to say? If not, Kath.
I decided that if you said those words, I would say yes. God has put a desire on my heart to, you know, almost every single day of my life. Because when I just need it to be brought into focus to me. I know it's there. I know he has given me the ability. But I want to be so close to him. And I want a relationship with him. Every morning I pray those words. Lord, I want to know you as I am known of you. And I know that which he's known me. But when I see him as he really is, I'm going to be like him. Just like him. And my heart so desires that, that I will no longer be blown to and fro with every wind that comes, just like your hair goes. I want to be with my eye single toward him, because that's just exactly what we're talking about today. When we see him as he is, we'll be just like him. We'll go no more in and out of that knowledge, that perfect single-eyed knowledge of God, while we're just going to dwell in it. We're going to be just like him, and it will not be a hard thing for us to love one another, or a hard thing for us to love those who don't know that we are one. We'll just love them because we'll be just like Jesus. That's all I have.
You know, the reason I like that scripture so much out of J.B. Phillips is because he said, if reality were to break forth, we need reality to break forth. We need our vision to where when we look out, we see the reality. We have clear vision, like the title to this sermon, where we have clear vision and not looking through a glass darkly, but where we begin to really see him and see what he's done and realize what he's done and know that creation is to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God. You know, what a wonderful thing when we come to that true vision of that, you know. Anybody else? Yeah.
It's just amazing to even conceive or think, but it says in the Bible that we have the mind of Christ. I was trying to think of the scripture. No, you're not. You have the mind of Christ. Is there an if to that? If you know, you have to watch that if. But to have that ability, oh, we need it too. Yeah. We need it so much, and we can have it. And that's so encouraging.
Well, see, he doesn't really put a proviso there in that mind of Christ. He just says we have it, but we don't. If we don't believe we have it, we're not going to function in it. See, and we have to believe that we have it and begin to thank him each day, and not necessarily just, you know, let the first thing that comes off the top of our head, but just say, Lord, how would you even have me react to this situation?
Yes.
And then we'll find a lot of times that we'll do exactly what would be pleasing to him, you know. Anybody else? Okay, well, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you all and have a wonderful day today. And Lord, clean our windows this week.